You are live, is what it says.
All right. It says we're live. I think we're getting there. All right. If you are on and you can hear me, leave a comment so that we know that you can actually see us and hear us. We are not the most technological people in the world. So knowing me, I'll start talking and I'll have some really insightful something to say and you won't hear it. So
you're there.
Let us know if you can hear us, if we're live. I'm getting, okay, y'all. Hey! We are so excited to be here tonight and bring the She Laughs Conference experience into your home. Honestly, a year ago today, I never would have thought this was possible. And so I'm really excited that we get to do this, and I'm excited for you to join us. Before I go any further, let me introduce this other beautiful lady on my screen, Miss Amber Vaughn. Amber, hi!
Hi, Katie! I'm so happy to be here.
Excited for Amber to be here, and I want to introduce all of you to Amber. Amber is someone that I started doing ministry with more than 5 years ago. I mean, it's probably been, Amber, I don't even know if you can remember it, 6, 7, even 8 years that we've been doing together. And we first started doing ministry when we were both NFL wives and our husbands played together in Atlanta, Georgia for one season. And it is exciting what God can do in just a few months, because for those few months we did ministry shoulder to shoulder, and then we have continued in that path since then. And Amber's going to be our host for tonight. So
started. Amber, take it away. Thanks so much, Katie. I'm so honored to be here and be a part of She Laughs. But let's just jump right into it. Let me open us up in prayer and then we'll go straight into worship. God, I just thank you for another day. I thank you for just everyone that's on the live stream and that's going to join the live stream, Lord. I just pray, God, that you just have your way. Whatever they need to hear, Lord, that you speak to their hearts. We pray for each of the speakers, the worship team, Lord, and I just ask, Lord, that you're with us. Keep everything smoothly running, even with technology, God, and we just thank you for all that you're doing. It's in your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Can we move her?
I searched for you, but it couldn't fill you. Man's empty place, treasures of faith, never enough. You came along and put me back together. Every desire now satisfied, you made me good. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. I'm not afraid to show you my weakness. Failures and flaws, you've seen them all, and still not afraid. 'Cause God of the mountain, He's God of the valley. There's not a place for mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn glory into dancing. Lord, I need defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
Our need is gone.
That was amazing. Thank you so much. I know we're having a little bit of technical difficulty, but we're just going to keep going. So at this time, I just wanted, for those of you who are just joining us, I want to make sure that everybody's registered. So just please make sure that you go to shelastconference.com/virtual-event. Again, that's shelastconference.com/virtual-event, and make sure you register. Again, if you're just joining us, I want to say welcome to She Last. We're so excited to have you all here. Just a couple of things. You guys want to make sure that you guys stay all the way to the end. We have a big announcement and a big countdown going on that we don't want you guys to miss. Plus, we have great speakers. We have Lisa Allen and Cherry coming on to share, and so as well as Katie McCown. So we're really excited about that. And then also, please feel free to comment if you guys have any questions during the speakers or you just want to share. And matter of fact, let's just go ahead and do this. Why don't you share where you're streaming from? So if you guys can just put in the chat what city you're in or what state, and we'll just, yeah, let's see what we have. Okay, let's see, we have, so just type in what, where you're streaming from. Of course, I see somebody from Atlanta. Oh, we have Texas, Austin, Texas, Indiana, Jacksonville, Texas, Cummington, Georgia. Oh, let's see, Pennsylvania. Oh, we have someone from Ontario, Canada, Illinois, Florida, Kansas City. I see Georgia, Colorado. Man, this is going on. South Carolina, this is amazing. Louisiana, Missouri. That's awesome. Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, we had some technical difficulties for a minute, but for now, I think we're up and running, yes?
Yeah, we're on there. We're on there. So, yeah.
So, we're watching the chat. So, you guys talk to us. We're excited to hear from you.
Good. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm also seeing Oklahoma as well, too. So, yeah, so just make sure you go and register at shelastconference.com/virtual-event. And I'm just going to dive right in and introduce Katie McCown to a lot of you. She's no stranger at all, especially to me. I love her. Katie McCown is president of She Last Ministry, a writer for Proverbs 31 Ministries, and a national speaker. Katie has spent more than a decade opening God's word and teaching it to others. In 2017, she joined the First Five team at Proverbs 31 Ministry, where she continues to study and train and teach the Bible. Katie is married to Luke, who's a former NFL quarterback, and Luke and Katie have 6 kids plus 2 puppies and a cat who she says acts like dogs. And Katie loves a strong cup of coffee or two, and her van is never clean. I'm so glad to hear that, Katie. That really resonated with me. So, Katie, take it away.
Thank you, Amber. And yes, my van is never, ever clean. Even when I call it clean, other people don't. So on my best day, you would call it not clean. But hey, listen, again, we're so excited for you guys to be here with us tonight. And, you know, the She Last Conference gets its name from Proverbs 31:25, which says, she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. And so when we say she laughs, we're referring to that verse, she laughs without fear of the future. And I don't know about you, but right now, at this current time in history, the idea of laughing without fear of the future may seem a little impossible. And so I want to talk to you tonight about kind of a process for when we pray to help us trust God in even the most uncertain times. So let me start with a story. During Luke's NFL playing days, every fall he would go to training camp. And training camp was usually a 3 to 4 week time away from home He would stay at a hotel. And so I would then be home with those six children Amber just talked about alone. And so one particular year, Luke came home from training camp and we were just going about the business of getting him unpacked and getting him settled back in at home. And I was kind of in the closet and he was in our bedroom and I hear him call from the bedroom. "Hey, Katie, why is there a T-ball bat and a can of hairspray next to the bed?" Well, he had discovered my plan in case an intruder tried to come in the house. And I said, it was a little bit surprising to me that he didn't know why that was there. I said, "Well, if someone came in the house, I was going to spray them in the eyes with the hairspray and then hit them with the bat when they were blinded. I mean, yeah, duh, right?" And he said, "Katie, no, that's your plan?" And I thought, yes, of course that's my plan. It seems like a foolproof plan to me. Luke did not agree. I never really did ask him what his plan would be because I felt so good about mine. But today I want to talk to you about a king in the Old Testament days who had a different plan in case of an intruder or an enemy. So instead of the T-ball bat hairspray plan, let's see if we can't find a better plan in uncertain times. So if you have your Bible and you want to turn with me, we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 19 for just a few minutes. And what I want to do is start with, we're going to be specifically in 2 Kings 19 verses 14 through 19. And so verse 14 says, "Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread before the Lord." So we need to know what this letter said so that we can better understand what Hezekiah was responding to. And we find out about this letter a few verses before 2 Kings 19, 14. In verse 10, it says, "Thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah." So this is what the messenger said. I'm just going to read a portion of it, but this is what it said. He sent him a message. And essentially his message can be summed up in this first part of verse 10 in chapter 19. It says, "Do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you." So what we have here is we have King Hezekiah who has unashamedly said, "I trust in the Lord." And we have an enemy coming against King Hezekiah and his people and his land. And King Hezekiah has chosen to trust in the Lord. We see that when we finish verse 14 that says he read these words from his enemy and it says Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. In this moment of attack, of a threat, in this moment where his enemy even said, "Don't be deceived by trusting in your God," Hezekiah made a choice to turn to the Lord. And I want to stop for just a minute because maybe you're going, "Okay, I mean, that sounds great, but we're talking about an Old Testament king. And what does that really have to do with me?" So I want us to build out just for a minute what circumstances he was really facing. So this enemy that was coming against King Hezekiah, we can find out a little bit more about them in the verses that precede verse 14. Verses 12 and 13 kind of detail all of the destruction that this enemy had already done to the nations surrounding Judah. This enemy that was coming against King Hezekiah, this threat to him and his nation, was well known, the Assyrians. And they weren't just well known for their power and the way that they had defeated so many nations and so many kings already. They were also pretty well known for the brutality that they did their defeating with. So for King Hezekiah to decide that he was going to turn to the Lord, that his response to this threat was to lay it out before the Lord, and we'll see the prayer that he says to follow. He was, if you will, putting all of his eggs in one basket. God was either going to deliver him and his people, or they were going to meet terrible and complete destruction. And so I tell you this because, no, maybe you don't have this like physical enemy coming at you, but maybe you have a circumstance in your life where you feel like to completely trust God means either he's going to show up or total destruction happens. And sometimes those are the hardest circumstances to fully trust God and rely on him alone, because we see what we might feel like is at stake if we put all of our eggs in one basket, if we fully rely on and trust the Lord. So I just want you to see the similarities maybe in the circumstance that King Hezekiah found himself in and the one that you may be facing. And here's the other thing I want you to see. What did his enemy say? Do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you. Essentially, he was trying to get Hezekiah to doubt the God that he trusted. And this is what I want to say. We have an enemy. If you look in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, tells us a little bit about this enemy. It describes him as prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. That's 1 Peter 5:8, describing our enemy. This same enemy is the one that showed up in Genesis chapter 3 to deceive Adam and Eve. And here's what that enemy said to them in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3 verse 1. Did God actually say? So do you see what the enemy, our enemy, does? The same thing that this physical enemy and threat to Hezekiah did. He just wants us to doubt God. He doesn't want us to fully trust him. And maybe his approach will be different in different circumstances, but it all comes back to the desire to get us to doubt our God. And so, like Hezekiah, we will face those "why would you trust God" types of accusations from our enemy. And I wanted to give you that before we move into this prayer that Hezekiah prays, because I wanted you to see how similar our circumstances can be to what Hezekiah found himself in all those years ago. And if our circumstances aren't all of that different, then our response can be similar too. So now let's get into this prayer that Hezekiah prays in 2 Kings 19, starting in verse 15. It says, "And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they were destroyed. So now, O Lord our God, save us, please, from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, O Lord, are God alone." Okay, so here's what I want you to see. There's this process that King Hezekiah kind of uses that we can use too. And so the first thing he does in 2 Kings 19:14, the first thing he does is he starts his prayer with God. You guys, he was in a tough, tough, serious situation. But the first thing he did was not say, Oh my goodness, God, look around and you see what's happening. That's not what he did. And the first thing he did was not, okay, God, let me tell you what's happening. Even it wasn't panic, but it wasn't even petition. That's not what he started with. He didn't start with the problem. He started with the truth about God. He started by saying, O Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of earth, you have made heaven and earth. He just starts by saying what's true about God. And let me tell you why that is such a big deal. Because when we start with God, what happens is that our problem, our circumstance, our fear, then filters through what is true about God. But if we start with our problem, sometimes we will decide what we think about God because we will filter him through what we see happening in our earthly situation. And that's not true. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change because of what we see happening in our circumstances. So this one shift, you guys, is pivotal. This is really the starting point for trusting God, even in the most uncertain times. When we come to him, maybe it's our circumstance or our problem that causes us to turn to him, which is exactly what we should do. But let's never skip starting with God and putting him in his rightful place that never changes. Because when we start there, our hearts will change. Our perspectives will change. When we start with God, that leads us into step number two, which if you have your digital program, this is blank number two. We then filter our fear or whatever, our fear, our circumstance, our threat, our enemy. We then filter that through the truth. And when we filter it through the truth, it changes our perspective. The last thing that I want you to see here is what this king does in verse 19. It says, so now, O Lord our God, save us, please, from his hand, that all the kingdoms of earth may know that you, O Lord, are God alone. So the final step to this, we start with God, and then we filter our fear and our circumstances through the truth of God. But finally, and this can be the hardest part sometimes, we deflect the outcome of the situation to God. That's what King Hezekiah did. He said, now, O Lord our God, you save us. See, sometimes we can start with God. We can filter our fear through the truth of God, but then we get up from our knees and we go try to fix it. Or we carry the burden and the weight of that situation. And the example that we get here from King Hezekiah is that when we kneel to pray, we let the outcome of that situation roll right off of us and onto the powerful and capable shoulders of our God. So that is the process that King Hezekiah showed us in this prayer of how he trusted God. And I believe it can be so powerful if we apply it to our lives. And I don't want to leave you hanging about how this story ends. If you read a little further in verse 20, God says, your prayer to me, I have heard. And in verse 36, God gives the deliverance of his people. So we are going to bring Amber back up and continue on with the remaining part of our program. But as we bring Amber up, let me leave you with this. So we've heard a lot about King Hezekiah here. And I want to tell you something that I also think may have had a big part of how King Hezekiah responded right here in 2 Kings 19. Because if you go back one chapter in 2 Kings 18, verse 3, it talks about when King Hezekiah started his reign as king. And verse 3 says, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And so what I want to leave you with is I think when King Hezekiah stepped into this role, he made a decision. And he decided that he was going to serve the Lord, that he was going to trust the Lord. And so wherever you are right now, whether you find yourself in a circumstance that makes you afraid, whether you're struggling with fear of the future or not, you can make a decision tonight that you're going to trust the Lord and then put that into practice. So that when that day comes, maybe it's tomorrow, maybe it's when you leave this live stream, but when that moment comes, you've already made your decision about who you will trust. And come on, you guys, if it's between trusting the Lord or a T-ball bat and a can of hairspray, is there really any option? And I know that's a silly example, but honestly, all of our best efforts can sum up to a T-ball bat and a can of hairspray. And for the record, I never did use the T-ball bat or the can of hairspray, so I don't want you to worry about that. But we can make that decision tonight that we're going to trust the Lord. And then I hope that this prayer process that we saw in 2 Kings will be something that you can start even tonight applying to your life.
Katie, that was amazing. I know we have a little bit of time, so I figured I'd ask some questions. And if anybody else has any, please add some into the comment box. But I think that was so timely, just with everything that's going on with the pandemic. And, you know, some people, they're dealing with, you know, not really knowing about their job security and things like that. So I think it's just such a good time to really dive in and really trust God in those things. So I'm always on the practical side of things a lot of times, and I'm sure you know that. So I know, like, just starting with God is a big thing. But how would you, what would that look like for someone that just comes up with a, kind of like Hezekiah did, coming up with a situation? How do they put these steps in, you know, practically? Like, how do they start with God?
That is a great question. And I love that you said that, because sometimes we're like, yeah, what do I even say? So I would tell you two things. One, when you don't have words, but you do really desire to start with God, to place him first and above all, sometimes the simplest way to do that is to turn on a praise and worship song. And before you ever start to pray, you choose to praise. And you follow along with those lyrics. So you don't just turn it on, kind of have it on in the background. You listen to those lyrics and you allow those lyrics to feed your heart and your soul and your mind what is true. And I do want to caution you, if you're going to do that, don't pick a worship song that's about you. That's not what we're going for. And really, there can be some that lean more towards, like, what's going on with me. So you want to pick those songs that focus you on God. You know, there's What a Beautiful Name is a song that comes to mind. And some of the songs that Amy and Caleb sang for us tonight, Nothing Is Better Than You. It's placing him on the throne that he's already on, but choosing to focus there. And you can do that with a praise and worship song before you move in to that personal prayer time.
Yeah, no, that's it, Katie. And I just wanted to share a verse that I love, which is Philippians 4, just reminding me of that, 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God will transcend all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Jesus Christ. So that popped in my mind the whole time you were talking. So what about filtering the fear? You know, filter the fear through truth. What is a way that we can do that on a daily basis?
Well, I think when you start with God, and I honestly don't know if you can filter the fear or the circumstance through the truth if you don't start with God.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you start with God, you focus on his unchanging character. And so what happens is what we see with our own eyes, we can say, listen, God, I don't have your eyes, but I can trust that what you see is different than me. And so when you start with God, what you're doing is you're reminding your own self of his power. So maybe you're in a situation that seems completely out of control and you're having a hard time trusting because you don't see any way this could work out. But you start with God and you're reminded that he parted the Red Sea, and you're reminded that Jesus walked on water, and you're reminded that the waves obey him. And so while that still does not change the perspective right in front of us, because we started with God, we now remember that what we see is not the only thing. So you're taking the truth about God and you're saying, what I see looks hopeless, but I have this to stake my hope on. Or what I see looks like there's no possible way, but I know what you are capable of, God. I know your power, or I know your goodness, or I know the extent of your love that you sent Jesus to die for me, for to forgive me of my sins so that I could be with you. So you're reminded of those things, and then you can apply them to your situation.
That's good. That's good, Katie. And I think it's really like what you're hitting on is really, you have to really dive into your word in that, in those senses. So there's plenty of, you know, resources out there now where you can search for a verse if you need something on peace, on, you know, faith and things like that. So.
And Amber, you know, I've said it many times, if you guys that are listening, if you follow me on social media or if you're on my email list, you've probably heard me say this, but this is something my family started doing during the pandemic, because you know, you're supposed to wash your hands. And there's like time that you're supposed to, I mean, you're always supposed to wash your hands, but that came out wrong. But so we're really working on washing your hands for the certain amount of time that you're supposed to wash. Mm-hmm. And I have kids, and you know, they don't have time to stand there and wash their hands. So what we started doing is printing out a verse and taping it. We're really, remember, we tape it
like that
next to our faucets, next to our sinks. So with that, when we're washing our hands, we can say the verse.
Oh, that's awesome.
On how fast you read. Maybe you say it one time, maybe you say it three times, but that allows the truth about God to stay on your mind. And so, like you said, Amber, the verse you read, or maybe there's one that you find that God gives you that really specifically applies to where you are, you can try that too, just to keep it in front of your eyes and keep it on your mind.
Right. That's so good. Okay, lastly, just deflecting the burden to God. How would you say, like, that's just a way we can practically do that?
Well, I think that's probably one of those difficult ones, but I think what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to become aware of what we're doing to try to solve it on our own. So maybe that's an internet search to find answers. Maybe that is endless text messages and phone calls and emails to try to put together a plan that you think might make it better. Maybe that is sitting and thinking about it in your quiet, in your downtime, maybe when you don't have a place to be, or you're waiting in a car line or driving somewhere and you recognize that your thoughts, I call it churning, they're just doing this about the problem. And what we have to do is we have to recognize the times that we're putting it on our own shoulders. And sometimes it is as simple as saying, all right, God, I see it. I recognize it. I'm trying to do this on my own. And I know that only you can. I want this over to you. And so I really feel like the first step of that is just recognizing when we're taking our own efforts to be the way it's going to get solved. That's the first step.
Awesome. I think that's so good. And I think I've heard something like that before, where it's just been like you said in the beginning, we have an enemy that wants to detour us. So he'll always try and bring that back up in our mind. But I remember somebody told me this analogy where it was like, if I give you my keys, and I have a pair of keys, and I give you the pair of keys. And if somebody comes to me and they're like, hey, where are those pair of keys? I have to go, you know what? I don't have those anymore. Katie has it. And I think that's the same thing we do with our problems, is once we pray about it and we're going to truly trust God, I have to literally do that in my mind when it comes up. You know what? Say it now. I'm not thinking about that. God has that. So you need to go talk to him about that. So that's so good though, Katie.
Visual. Love that.
No, that's awesome. Katie, thank you so much. That was so timely and so amazing as usual. So thank you so much. I'm going to jump right in again. Just so you guys can follow along, there is a program, and just make sure you go register at shelaughsconference.com/virtual-events. And then as well, too, please stay to the end, because Katie has a special announcement, just something you don't want to miss. And so please stay till the end. We got about 30 to 45 minutes left. So we hope that you guys will stick around. Continue to talk in the chat box. I see you guys commenting some great songs in there, worship songs. So that's amazing. But I'm going to go ahead and introduce our next speaker, and it's Lisa Allen. And we're so excited to have her. So Lisa Allen is a Jesus-loving, coffee-loving, leopard print-loving woman. She has a passion for and connection to women and uses this passion as an executive director in ministry and staff development at Proverbs 31. She is a keynote speaker and conference speaker or workshop facilitator. Her engaging messages leave her audience with a renewed passion, calling, and confidence. Anyone who spends time with Lisa can attest that she enjoys the certification she receives for the Enneagram training, team coaching, Disc Personality Profile, and Gallup Strengths Finder. Lisa lives in Charlotte, North Carolina with her husband and has two grown children and a darling Yorkie PJ. Lisa, we're so happy to have you. Thank you.
Thank you, Amber, so much. Hi, everybody. I'm so glad to be with you tonight. And I'm hoping the darling Yorkie stays quiet while we talk tonight. I love being sandwiched in between Katie with her hairspray and her bat and Sherry, who is going to talk to us about our fashion. And you guys can put in a chat whether you think I have pants on or yoga workout clothes down here. And I see you, Shanna. I see you're a 9 on there. I'm a 3 on the Enneagram. Tonight, we're going to talk about being called, confident, and on mission to clarify our why. It could be better said, and we're getting ready to take our aim. Take our aim. Now, Katie talked about hairspray and a bat. But I'm going to talk about an arrow that we literally are going to talk about ways tonight to aim our lives, to live a life on purpose rather than on impulse. So I want you to think about if you had a target in front of you and you had an arrow that you were going to shoot through that target, what would happen if you put a blindfold on and then shot the arrow? How likely are you to hit the target? Not very likely at all, right? Well, sadly, this is what I do so often and what you do so often is we hope that God is aiming our life. We hope that we have a mission and a calling, a purpose in our life, right? To serve God, a kingdom purpose. But we don't take time enough to think it through with God and to write it down and actually let him aim our life. And so we end up living distracted. We live a worldly why instead of a confident calling. So tonight, in just a few minutes, I'm going to give you the resources, the tools in your toolbox to actually write your calling statement. And we're going to get ready to state out loud in the chat. And I love that you guys are already doing chats. Yes, you're right. Those of you, oh, Tammy thinks I have pants on. I actually have yoga pants. I just respackled after Pilates. So I know that's a no-no, but I'm sitting down, Sherry Brendel. So hopefully that's okay. Anyways, we're getting ready to state our intentions. We're going to write the aim of our life that we're beginning to sense even just in a few minutes here in this conversation that we're having tonight. So when that happens, when we see women all over this country and all over this world beginning to aim their life, guess what? The enemy quakes because he knows that God is raising up a group of women. So tonight you could be thinking about your mission statement. You could be calling it your why. That's a popular way to say it. It could be your dream, your kingdom dream, your God dream that you have. It could be your elevator pitch, you know, or your tagline. If you know, those are two marketing terms. But that the most important thing I want you to remember is we're getting ready to speak it out loud. And once we have the basis of an aimed life calling statement, then we can use it to filter our decisions, to put our spiritual gifts and our personality, to aim them in a certain direction, our calendar, the decisions that we make, our yeses and our nos. Now, let me tell you why I want to guide you guys tonight into writing a calling statement rather than a mission statement. You see, I believe that if I write a calling statement, that requires that I have a caller. That means somebody is calling me in a certain direction. I love this quote by Oz Guinness. He wrote the book, The Call. And he says, we're not called primarily to do something or go somewhere. We're called to someone. We're not called first to a special work, but to God himself. And the key to answering the call is being devoted to no one and nothing above God himself. Now, my question for you is simply this. When we think about the call, that word call literally comes from the Latin word voca, from which we get our English word voice. And my challenge has often been for myself and for you, what voice are you listening to? Are we getting quiet enough to hear the voice? Sometimes we're being led by voices of the world. Maybe it's social media. Maybe social media is trying to aim our life because it's drowning out God's voice. Maybe it's some of your friends, you know, even if they love you and are well-meaning, they might be trying to aim your life. Or even really well-meaning church leaders, pastors, or Bible study leaders might be helping you aim your life. But the fact of the matter is we have to constantly go back to the caller, go back to God and say, is this you? Is this the arrow that you want me to pick up in order to aim my life, my kingdom purpose? So the calling requires a caller. And I look to Jesus himself. When we think about a caller and a calling, Jesus in Luke 5:15 said that he was, it says that he was preaching and healing people of their diseases. And in the very next verse, it says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. You see, he was facing his calling, preaching and healing. But then what did he do? He went back and spent time with his father, the caller. And of course, we see this again in the Garden of Gethsemane when he faced his ultimate calling to be led to a cross, to shed his blood on a cross for you and for me to forgive our sins so that we can spend eternity with him in heaven. And where do we see him again? We see him being strengthened for his calling and ready to be aimed at the cross by spending time in the Garden of Gethsemane with his caller. So the first thing I want you to do is take just a minute. Take just a minute. It was Luke 5:15 and 16 is the scripture that I used. And I want you to jot down, because you're already on your computer or on your phone, open up your calendar. And I want you to put an hour, a half hour, maybe a whole morning with your caller, because you're going to spend time tonight hearing from Katie, hearing from me, and hearing from Sherry. And I want you to have somewhere to go to actually listen to God and say, I want your voice to be aiming my life. So take just a second and I'll stop talking for a sec while you do that. Now, as you're finishing up putting some time on the calendar to meet with God, your caller, I want to give you a verse, 1 Corinthians 9:26. When we talk about aiming our life, it says, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. He's talking about that race marked out before us, running a race. And that's what we want to do. We want to aim our life in such a way that we're intentional and we're focused and we're aimed at what God has for us. Now, that doesn't mean that you have a calling that you're no longer a mom. You're still, God will work out a way for you to rock your babies and work out a kingdom calling. Even if all that means is while you're rocking those babies, you're beginning to let him marinate and water the dream, and you begin praying about it, and you feel your passion rising. Maybe you're driving your parents to a doctor's appointment if you have older parents, and it's while you're going about doing those things that he's also watering the seeds for the God dream that where he's aiming your life. So it doesn't have to be that you're called into full-time ministry or anything. This is what brings passion and kingdom work to our hands. Now, the good news is every single one of us as followers of Christ, we have a calling. We have a primary calling, and that's to be accept the work that he did on the cross and make him the Lord and the master of our life. That's our primary calling. But once we have done that, we have a secondary calling, and that is Ephesians 2:10, kingdom work that he's prepared in advance for us to do. So here's what I want you to do. You have handouts, and on the top of your handouts, you will see my calling statement. And I'm using this as an example for you because I'm going to get you guys to write your calling statement. My calling statement is to encourage, inspire, empower, and equip women to be the unique individuals God created them to be and leave His mark on their world through their lives. Now, the exciting thing for me is you're allowing me to do this right now. My helping you write your calling statement is helping me live my calling. And now, I want to use that as a sample for you as you begin to write out your calling statement. And I want to let you know that every calling has three parts. So if you're taking notes, here's the parts that you're going to, all my note takers, here you go. The first part is you're going to want some action words or verbs. And that's because you're going to do something. You're going to do something in your calling. The second part is you need a people group or a cause, because this is something you're going to do something for someone or to someone. So that's the second part. And the third part is a so that. What will be different because you lived out your calling? So your action group, your action words, eventually you're going to want to have like two to four of them. But if you leave here tonight or this weekend, when you put that time on your calendar to be with God, if you have like 10 words, guess what? That's 10 words closer to an aimed and purposeful life that you had than when you started this workshop tonight. Now, the second thing is the people group or a cause. Now, this can be a lot of different things, guys. It can be a condition. It could be like you're a cancer survivor, or it could be maybe you or somebody in your family has suffered from mental illness and you have a tenderness, a passion for that, to give people hope in that. Maybe it could be infertility or Lyme disease, you know, some sort of a condition. My husband is 30 years sober. And his calling statement is aimed, his aimed life is toward giving people hope that sobriety is possible. Your people group or cause, it could be a country. I have friends who the country of Burundi, Africa is their aim of their life, helping pour resources into that area and develop and equip people. I have another friend who it's Haiti. That is her passion. Or it could be anything. Think about any part of your life that's been painful. Often, not always, but often our calling comes from our deepest pain. In fact, the word passion is from the root of the word suffering. So I always like to say that our deepest pain can become our greatest aim. So think about some things that God has walked you through that has associated with a lot of pain or suffering. And then thirdly, are so that, again, imagine what will be different because you aimed your life. Think about it. Perhaps there will be water that's clean in a country because of that. Or maybe orphans are adopted or children are fostered. Perhaps your marriage that has been ravaged by infidelity doesn't need to end divorce, or pornography doesn't need to be a hopeless addiction, but marriages can be restored from that kind of addiction. Maybe it's racial injustice will be reversed, whatever it is. Our calling is as unlimited as our unlimited creative God is. So let's get ready and think about for you. And I want you to think about as you write your calling statement, we're going to go back and we're going to start with your action words or verbs, action words or verbs. And on your handout, you will see there is a word bank. It is a calling generator worksheet, and there's a word bank. And I want you to go through and circle every single word that makes you feel something that you go, I think this is close to my calling. I think this is something that's exciting for me. And again, your words should bring passion in you. And I want you to think about things if they're not quite right. That's because you're going to go back and work on it after I'm done tonight and after you have time with God to listen to Him. Think about synonyms to those words. Think about the opposite of what you want to do. So for me, the opposite of what I want to do with my life is discourage somebody. So it's quite natural that one of my words is encourage. So if you can pull that out right now and start circling, I wonder if somebody would just drop a couple of words into the chat screen that make them feel something. Continue, supply, orchestrate, build, navigate, capture, experience, whatever it is to you, start circling some of those words. And then I'll move on and take you on to part two. Do we have anything coming up in the chat yet? Okay, I'm going to keep going, guys. I'm going to keep going, but drop those words in. Encourage, Brenda, thank you. Empower, I love that. We share those words, guys. Now, remember, when you start speaking this out loud, you are aiming, train, and validate. You're aiming your life, and the enemy's going, whoo, the Lord is raising something up. Create, Stacy Mendo, I love that. Okay, next I want you to think about your people group or your cause, your people group or cause. And I want you to think about what itch are you trying to scratch? And I wanna prime your pump a little bit by thinking about what kind of news articles get your attention, what kind of documentaries do you watch, what do you save on your social media? Think about what makes you mad. What makes you mad? What makes you say it shouldn't be like this? Children should not go to bed hungry, or marriages shouldn't end in divorce, whatever it is. What makes you go, ooh, it shouldn't be like this? We have an organization here in Charlotte called Beds for Kids. And the whole organization was created because one single young guy realized that once people went from a homeless shelter as families into a permanent living situation, they had no furniture. And he said, it shouldn't be like this. And so what is that for you? And as you think about that, on the back side of your handout, I have a word bank for people, groups, and causes. So you can start circling that too in order to get off the blank page. And I'm loving these words that I'm seeing. Action words: equip, encourage, supply, build, guide, empower, restore, encourage, inspire. Can you see, guys, how quickly God is aiming your life just in a very short period of time? So start dropping in your people group. My people group is women, oftentimes women in ministry. What is your people group that you feel like God is taking the arrow and aiming your life? And if you'll start dropping that into the chat. Okay, I'm going to move on now. And I know I'm going fast, but guess what? You've already made a date with the caller. So you're going to spend some time really digging into this and really listening to the voice of God. So we have our action words, and we have our people group or cause. And then the last part is so that. What will be different? What will be different because you aimed your life? When you get to the end of your life and people are speaking at your own funeral, what are the kind of things that they are going to remember that you invest in your life? Look at this: women, students, abandoned teens, college community, the forgotten. I love this. I love how God's already watering seeds. And so think about there will be no more homelessness. Maybe there'll be no homelessness. Maybe there'll be biblical literacy. Maybe people will stop being abused, or victims of abuse will feel empowered and healed. Maybe racial injustice will be reversed, or pornography won't end marriages, or sobriety is possible, or mental illness will be talked about in the church. These are all things that will help you aim your life. What will be different? Now, the next part is going to be really important. Then we put all of these together. You have your action words, you have your people group or cause, and you have your so that. And that, my friends, is an aimed and purposeful life, called, confident, and on mission to clarify your why. So, whew, that's a lot. And I know that's a lot, but I also know you just made a date with the caller. So as I close tonight, I want to remind you of a couple of things. First of all, this is a start. You're going to have to kick the tires a couple of times once you have your statement and figure out, does it work? And I want to leave you with encouragement of those that have gone before us who have taken the arrow that God has aimed their life. And I want you to think about Martin Luther King Jr., that he took an arrow that was aimed at civil rights. And look at what we're still building upon. Billy Graham, he was given an arrow toward evangelism. And there might be somebody on this call tonight that is in the kingdom of God because he accepted the arrow that God gave him for his life and aimed his life. And as we close tonight, I want you to think about Moses himself. He was handed an arrow aimed at setting the Israelites free. And I leave you with these words from Moses, because sometimes our calling, the arrow that we're handed, feels big or feels intimidating and overwhelming. And here's what what Moses said to God: "I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since have you have spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue." And the Lord said, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind?" And this is what I have for you guys tonight. Take your arrow, and the Lord says in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, "Now go, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say." My friends, take the arrow and aim your life. And keep adding in the chat so we can see your calling statements where you are right now. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Lisa, for those words. Before we open up, in a word of prayer, I just want to invite you guys to just have some alone time, some quiet time with yourselves to just think over the words that Katie or Lisa have spoken this evening and how you can apply that to your life. Because if we've done this whole online virtual conference just to have something to do, then we've missed the point. So for these next couple of minutes while Amy and I sing a song, just reflect on those words. Ask the Father in your prayer time, God, how can I use these tools that they've given us? How can I accept the challenge that's been laid at my feet to better my home, to better my workplace, and to better this world? So if you would just bow with me right now as we pray. Father God, thank you so much for this time that we've had to spend with you. God, this time that we've been able to listen to your word being presented, God, on a crazy thing like the internet. Father, who would have thought that we would have been able to do this? But thank you so much that you've allowed us to use the technology to spread your word, to spread the good news that you have. Lord, as we continue on with this evening, God, I pray that you will speak to all of us. God, that you will give us words of encouragement, give us words of life, give us words that will get us up in the morning to carry out our day. God, we pray these things in your name. Amen.
No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, calling out to me. No wall you won't kick down, the light won't tear down, coming out to me. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming out to me. No wall you won't kick down, the light won't tear down, coming out to me. Oh, do you know that the ever ending of God? Oh, it chases me down and finds me around without ease and my mind. I couldn't grab it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, ever-ending, endless love of God. Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before him. For he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will say, great are you, Lord.
All the earth.
All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will say, great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord.
Sing it one more time. It's your breath.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise.
Amazing. Thank you guys so much. Amazing. Y'all, wasn't that so amazing? Wasn't Lisa so great? I got so many nuggets. And if you want that handout, that's where we were telling you to go register. So make sure you go to shelastconference.com/virtual events. And you'll get the program, and I'll have the guide on there and all that Lisa talked about with the action words and everything. And make sure you keep your time with God, as she said. So I hope you guys scheduled that. If you're a mom, you know you have to schedule it. So make sure you schedule that. So a couple more things. Just stay. We're about 30 minutes away from Katie making her big announcement that I'm so excited for. So make sure you guys stay tuned. But I'm going to introduce our next speaker. Sherry is CEO and founder of Fashion Meets Faith. Sherry is an author, Christian speaker, fashion editor, and a professional image consultant. She is one of the most sought-after Christian women speakers on the topic of beauty inside and out, Christian fashion, and dressing with dignity. Recognized for her fun, engaging, and transparent speaking style, her Fashion Meets Faith event is said to be one of the most empowering Christian conferences available to women today. Sherry, we're so excited to have you and so excited to hear what you have to say. Take it away, Sherry.
Thank you. Thank you, Amber. Well, hey, everybody. Oh, my goodness. So I realize I'm doing something that I always tell people they shouldn't do. And that is wear the same color as your background, because I think I'm fading into it. Oh, my goodness. Well, we'll just go on. You guys, how are you doing with COVID-19? Have you gained COVID-19? Or have you gained more? Or have you done like really well and you got on the bandwagon and you thought, you know what, I'm going to use this time to like lose some weight? If that's you, that's that's incredible. But you're in the minority. because most of us have just put on a few extra pounds. And, you know, I love the scripture, Psalm 139, 14, that says, I praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. But the problem is, most of us beat ourselves up because of the way we look. And I have heard more and more people doing that right now during COVID-19 than ever before because of the weight that you've been putting on and that they've been putting on. And so here's what I want to say to you. I want you to stop doing that. Stop beating yourself up. Stop bullying yourself because you are made in the image of God. And no matter if you're taller, you're smaller, you're fluffy, we don't call it fat anymore, or you're thin, no matter what you are beautiful exactly as you are. And if you have to go up a size in your clothes, so be it. Nobody knows. And I always tell when we're at live conferences, I always say, you know what, girls, just cut the tag out of the back of your shirt so you don't even remember what size you are, because it doesn't matter. God did not make a mistake with you. Can I get an amen to that? He did not make a mistake with you. And I am just here tonight to share a few little fashion tips for you to get you through this COVID time. And I love Katie and Lisa so much. And I love doing life with them and traveling with them and speaking with them. And it was so fun to see them on the screen. But can I tell you what might have even been more fun is looking in the comments, and from my position, I'm not allowed. I'm sure they would let me, but I'm not able to comment. For some reason, it's like disabled or something. But I have seen so many of you in the comments that I know that have been at a She Laughs conference before. Oh my goodness, I see Oklahoma, I see Colorado. I mean, some places that we've been that's so, Texas. So exciting. And so thank you guys for showing up here tonight. And it's just our pleasure to do this. And so here's what I want you to do right now. I want you to take your hands wherever you are, sitting in your chair. And if you've never seen me on stage before, I would have you come up on stage, but since I can't, we're going to do it right from your chair. So put your hands on the place on your body where you gain the most amount of weight. Where did you go? Did you go to your belly? Did you go to your hips and thighs? Did you go maybe to your boobs? Because some of you do that. Put in the comment right now, like, tell us, where did you put your hands on your body? So where was that? And I know there's going to be some of you who are still like this, like, oh, I don't have anywhere to put my hands. Well, good for you, because let me tell you, that is pretty amazing. But you are a balanced body shape. And I'm just teasing. I love our balanced bodies. But here's the thing, you guys. When you get dressed, we are called, and I love the scripture, Matthew 5:14, that says, we are a light on a hill. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. And depending on different translations, one says, and I wrote this down from the message, it says, you're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. I love that, because I think sometimes because of the way that we look, we hide ourselves and we don't go out into the public. And we've been hiding ourselves in sweats and sweatshirts and all of those things. You know, there's some research that's showing that there's some depression setting in because we haven't been out in public and we're kind of like hiding in ourselves. And so I just want to share with you that I pray that you will understand that no matter how you look, that you are to be that light on a hill, that you are to shoot the arrow that Lisa was talking about and go out and do the things that God has for you. But in order to do that, so many times we hesitate because of the way that we look. And so I want to put a stop to that tonight. And I just want to help you with just a few little tips to kind of get you on your way in this COVID-19 time period to really say, you know what? I can do this. I can do this. And I don't have to hide, because your purpose is never going to be fulfilled if you hide at home. And so work on that calling statement that Lisa talked about. And I know that Katie's going to share something that's so exciting at the end. But in order to do all of this, you got to take care of yourself. All right. So one thing I want you to do is, when we get off this call tonight, I want you to go look in the mirror and say, thank you, God, for making me so cute, whether you believe it or not, because your words are powerful. I also, if you're a mother, I also want you to tell your children that. And when you tell your children, I just want you to kind of take them by the face and say, you are so gorgeous. You are so darling. You are so cute. Whatever. You are so handsome. Tell your boys and tell your girls. Because when they see their mamas talking bad about themselves, sometimes it happens that maybe your daughters will be out and about. Somebody comes up to them and says, oh, honey, you look just like your mama. And she thinks, well, I guess I must not be too pretty because my mama doesn't think she is. That'll hit you right between the eyes, right? So we have to start saying words that build ourselves up and build others up. All right. Okay. Next, I want you to take a test to find out what colors look great on you. Remember that verse I just read in Matthew 5:14? It says, we are meant to be the God colors of the world. Go take a color test. Go to colorcodequiz.com. Somebody will put that in the comments, colorcodequiz.com. You can get a free test and figure out what colors look best on you. It's a really short little test. So do that. And you can determine, well, do bright colors look better on me? Or medium colors look better on me? Softer colors, lighter colors, pastels? Does black work for me? Does brown work for me? Go figure that out. All right. And then understand where it is that you gain your weight. So if you gain in your belly, you would be considered a B body shape. B for belly or B for beautiful. If you gain in your bust line, which many people do, and they're overly endowed, that's the O. You're an O body shape or outstanding. If you gain in your hips and thighs or booty area, you're a D body shape. For derriere or darling. And if you're balanced, if you don't gain a lot of weight or you're pretty balanced all over, you're an X body shape or excellent. And so understanding where you gain your weight will help you when you get dressed, because what I want you to think about is that, first of all, you should wear the proper undergarments. And I know, hanging out at home, some of the bras have gone to the wayside. Okay, can you put in the comments if your bra has gone to the wayside more than 3 days a week? Like, go, yep, that's me. Yep, that's me. Oh my goodness, I'd love to know. Because you know what? Probably if you don't say yes, you might be hiding the truth. Okay, so most of you, but I'm telling you, like we just do. It's like, boop, we come home, the bra comes off. So make sure you have the right undergarments on. The other thing is, once you have the right undergarments on, and by the way, your bust line should, when you have your bra on, it should be between the top of your shoulder and your elbow. So let me kind of get up here a little bit. It should sit right in the middle. Okay, right in the middle, right there. And so you got the right undergarment, and then just think about where it is that you gain your weight. And disguise that area when you dress. So if you gain in your belly, then make sure that your shirt isn't too snug, that it clings to your belly. If you gain in your belly, don't wear a belt around your belly, because it's basically like decorating the fluff. If you gain in your hips and thighs, then be careful with jeans that might have words, not words, hopefully you're not wearing jeans with words on the back, but might with like horizontal decorations on your pocket. Make sure that your pockets are either solid or that they're vertical. Like if they have a decoration on it, you know, like the stripes and that sort of thing. If you gain in your upper in your upper midriff and your bust line, consider wearing patterns, because patterns actually draw the eye all over the body instead of just boom, boom, one, two. Or you can do like I've done tonight and use a layering piece, because if you don't have a layering piece on and you've got a solid top on, what will happen, that's when the eye is going to be more drawn to the bust line. So consider that pattern. And while I'm on patterns, let me just say, for those of you who have a smaller bust line, patterns are great for you as well, for the very same reason that the eye of the onlooker doesn't just settle on the one or two spots. Well, I guess you'd have, most of you just have two there, right? So it would be more of a pattern. And so just consider, those are just a few tips. I just really want you to consider where you gain your weight, because we want to draw the eye upward toward our face and not at any of the challenge areas on our body. Now, I'm not saying that a large bust line is a challenge area, but for some of you, you may think that it is. And so if your bust line would be the first thing that somebody would see if you walked into the door or into a room, then that's a possibility. Then you want to camouflage. But just consider some of those tips. It really will help you, I believe, to feel better about yourself. And another thing that's happening right now, we're on Zoom meetings a lot, right? Like, just like I'm doing for you, with you right now. And a lot of times we're even meeting family that way and friends that way, and we're doing work meetings. Remember that this right here is your impact zone. And so it really doesn't matter. I loved it that Lisa was saying, what do you think I have on the bottom? And some people were really nice, Lisa, and they said, pants. And then others were like, yoga pants, you know, because you look so nice. But here's the thing, you guys, just like the tag that we're going to tear out of the back, nobody knows what size you're wearing, right? Nobody knows what pants you're wearing, because I have yoga pants on too, exercise pants on, and Lisa did too. It's just what we wear around the house. But if nobody's going to see you up here, this is your impact zone. So consider a statement necklace. Consider bigger earrings. Make sure your makeup's done, your hair's done. And you guys, if you haven't had a compliment on your hair in the last couple of weeks, it's probably time to cut it, dye it, or buy some more. With that, I will leave you, and we will get back to the spiritual part of this conference. And I just hope you had a little bit of fun thinking about yourself.
Amazing, Cherry. That was so great. I think the biggest thing I took away from it was just affirming yourself. That's the biggest thing, is like going in, because life or death is in the power of the tongue. So that's awesome. Okay, you guys, so we're heading towards the end, and Katie's going to come on in a second for her big announcement. Again, if you guys want to get a copy of the program and everything like that, please go to shelastconference.com/virtual-events. And so Katie's going to announce, she's going to come on and talk in more detail about it. But as we're in the pandemic, I know we're thinking, oh, if we can just get to 2021, but we don't want to go into 2021 with that same fear that we had here in 2020. And so Katie wants us to equip us into going into the year 2021 without fear. And so she's going to present a countdown for us to follow along with her. We'll just send them out. And as you can see, here's just a couple of 10 habits to help you smile without fear today. 9 things worry might be costing you and how to take them back. 8 things you can do right now instead of fear of the future. And these are just a couple of things. And I'll have Katie come on and just kind of share her heart in this and what she just had in mind with this. So Katie, if she's ready.
You got me?
Yeah. Okay. You're on.
Yes, Amber, thank you so much. It's always iffy over here. Thank you so much for this. You know, you guys, one thing that is so exciting, and really what's most exciting to me about this, is how it proves God knew. So a year ago, in 2019, before we ever knew anything about 2020, God put it in my heart to write a Bible study called She Smiles Without Fear. And so then enter 2020, and the Bible study's already been written, and the Bible study's already been edited, and we had determined to release this Bible study on January 1st, 2021. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready for a year to smile without fear. And the thing is this, because I've heard some of you say this, and maybe you've either said it or heard it said, I'd like to see the terms and conditions of 2021 before I enter the new year, right? Because the fact of the matter is, we get to that new year place and we hope for something better. We hope for something different, but we're not sure of it. And especially, I think we all feel like we got a little blindsided by 2020. We just didn't see it coming. So this is what I want to offer you. Yes, I want 2021 to be a new year. But really, I want to offer you this Bible study, She Smiles Without Fear, so that we don't go into 2021 with our fingers crossed and our toes crossed and our arms crossed behind our back, just hoping that it's better. I want you to have a tool that can help you biblically and practically walk through steps so that no matter what 2021 brings, it can be a year where we smile without fear. So this is the thing about the countdown. Because who wants to wait until January 1st to start smiling without fear, right? So we want to count down to 2021, the year we smile without fear. And we want to start this Thursday, October 22nd, if I've got my calendar right. And what's going to happen is on October 22nd, this coming Thursday, we will be 10 weeks away from New Year's Eve, the eve of 2021, the year we smile without fear. So we want to invite you tonight to join us in this countdown to the year we smile without fear. So you see what you'll get when you join the countdown. Each week you will get an email with this free content, 10 habits to help you smile without fear today. And Amber mentioned all of them. And they're going to count us down to Christmas Eve, which is 1 week from New Year's Eve. And the only thing you have to do to enter the countdown is pre-order the Bible study. And you can do that right now. And as a matter of fact, we want to do it together. So what I want you to do right now, you've already pulled out your phone or your tablet or your computer because Lisa had you do it, to set a date to meet with your caller. So pull up a new tab and go to shesmilesbiblestudy.com. When you get to shesmilesbiblestudy.com, if you scroll just a little bit down the page, you're going to see three retailers you can choose from right now where you can pre-order She Smiles Without Fear. And here's what I want you to do. Pick your favorite retailer, go to that site, and add the Bible study to your cart, but I don't want you to check out yet, because what we want to do is we want to count down. We want to start the countdown right now tonight. We want to count it down, and when we get to one, we want to pre-order together, and we want to start the countdown to the year that we smile without fear. Some of the countdown, some of the information that, or the message that you heard from me tonight is a part of this Bible study. And it is really something that I have walked with the Lord through. So I'm not giving you some really great ideas. In this Bible study, I will be sharing with you things that God has taught me as I have walked with Him through my own fear of the future. So if you are there, go ahead, pick that favorite retailer, put it in your cart, and get ready to press the order button. But don't do it yet, because we're all going to do that together. And when you pre-order tonight, you're going to get an email. And in that email, you will have everything that you need to join the countdown. But you're also going to be able to start some of the content immediately that is in the Bible study. And you'll also get a few lock screens for your phone. And if you're interested in leading a small group, you'll get a leader guide to help you lead a small group. So all of that happens when you pre-order. And if everybody is there, we are about ready to start this countdown. So if you are there, let me hear you in the comments, or let me hear you in the room. I've got some people here with me. Let me know, are you ready to press that button? Are you ready for the countdown? Give me a holler if you are.
Confetti cleaning.
Well, Amber, thank you so much for being our hostess tonight. It's been such a blessing to do this with you.
Oh, thank you, Katie. I was so honored to do it and got so much out of it myself. So thank you so much.
Oh, I'm so glad you were here. And of course, you guys, you saw all of the wonderful people on your screen, Amber and Lisa and Sherry, who volunteered to be with us tonight. And of course, there's always people behind the screen that you didn't see that helped us get here tonight. So I do want to give a quick shout out to Terry and Brandy and Stacy and Olivia. This one of them without me. So and a special thank you to all of you for joining us tonight. Such a blessing to get to come into your home. Thank you for inviting us there. And we are all looking forward to 2021, the year we smile without fear. You guys have a great night. Yay!
Are we off? Are you guys still there? Oh, I'm not sure, but I'm going to close us out in prayer if we are still on here. I think we're still live, but if we are, I'm going to go ahead and close this out in prayer. God, just thank you for another day. Thank you for your peace and your joy. Thank you for just a good time with all these women. I thank you, God, for all that you're doing and all that you are. And God, I just pray that you're with each and every one of them. And we just count it as done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bye, everybody.